Amen. I wonder if we could turn over to Isaiah chapter 50 for a scripture reading this evening. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 50. And we're going to read from the first verse of the chapter. Isaiah chapter 50 and beginning our reading at the first verse. Isaiah chapter 50, begin at verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgression is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all, that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh, because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season. To him that is weary, he wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ears to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. We're looking at the last couple of verses of that portion of scripture. And you'll notice the question is asked there in verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of a servant that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Now, the question, of course, immediately that comes from that is, in what way do those that fear the Lord and obey the voice of the Lord, the voice of his servant, the voice of the preacher, what way do they walk in darkness and have no light? You know, the Bible speaks in 1 John chapter 1 and 9. It says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And the word if in that text, it doesn't mean that there's some questioning whether a child of God walks in the light. You could actually translate that, since we walk in the light as he is in the light. And the child of God does walk in the light. We walk in the light that God has given. We walk in the light of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank God for the fact that the word has been given to us. The Bible is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So the more we walk in obedience with the word of God, so the more light we are walking in. So what is the darkness that is mentioned here in the portion of scripture? Well, of course, it's not the darkness of condemnation. It's not the darkness of desolation or damnation. We think of what it says in 1 John 1 and 8. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. It's not darkness like that. It's not walking in the darkness of sin or the darkness of condemnation. It's not the darkness of an unsaved state, because it says here that this person that's walking in darkness fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant. So what is the darkness that is being spoken about here? Well, I think that it is obvious here that what we're talking about here is when sometimes the light of God's countenance is withdrawn from his people. There are times in our experience when God seems to be afar off. And since we're used to walking in the light of God and in the light of God's presence, when that happens, when there is some withdrawal of the light of God's presence, then it could be compared to walking in darkness. We think of the words of the hymn that we have sung already. It says, when darkness veils his lovely face. And sometimes we have that experience of the veiling of the lovely face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this kind of thing is not maybe often spoken about in our pulpits today, but the Puritans would have dealt with it quite a bit, and they would have studied these times when the smile of the countenance of God was withdrawn, and when people seemed to be walking in darkness, having enjoyed the blessing of God's countenance, there was that seeming to be walking in darkness. And when we see this, maybe you've experienced this, or if you haven't experienced it, you will experience it. And maybe you cannot explain it. And sometimes there's a comfort in the fact that we know somebody else has gone through the same thing. And here we find a verse in which the Lord speaks about that very experience. Those times when it seems as if we're not having answers to prayer, or when God has withdrawn himself, and where God seems to be far off. And he says, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? And he says, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. So there's advice here for those times when it seems that God is afar off. And he says, behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that you kindled, this shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. So we see a warning here about the way that we walk in a dark path. How are we to conduct ourselves when there is that darkness that enshrouds our path? Well, that's what the prophet here is speaking about. This is what the Lord is speaking about to his people. And so for a few minutes, I just want to think about the path of darkness here that is revealed to us in the portion of Scripture. And the first thing that I want you to see is the reality of that dark path. He says, who is among you that feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? And you'll notice a number of things right away. You'll notice the characters that are involved in this reality. And you'll see that the person who's walking in darkness here is one who fears God and obeys God. So this is not a backslider. This is not somebody that has been guilty of some sin and who has drawn away from God in some measure. And therefore, the Lord has withdrawn his countenance. The path of the backslider is often one that will land people in an awful lot of trouble. And sometimes the Lord does withdraw his countenance from us because of that. But you think of how the Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's promised that if we're saved, that he will walk with us. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And therefore, when sometimes it seems as if God has withdrawn himself from us, and we're not backslidden, we haven't, as it were, abandoned God in any way, or we're trying our best and we're still walking with God, and yet we land in this place where God is afar off. God is not as near, it seems, as once he was. And you know, if we don't know that such a thing can happen, if we're not warned like we are in this portion of Scripture, it'll take us by surprise and it'll shock us, and we will wonder what is happening, and we will wonder where is the blessing that we once had. And you know, we think of how maybe in the place of prayer has become dry and barren, and maybe you're going through a difficult patch in your life and you feel as if God has abandoned you to some degree and measure. Of course, in some circles it is taught that a Christian would never go through that kind of thing. Or if they do go through those kinds of times when there is darkness, then the teaching is that you have failed, your lack of faith or something like that. But I want you to see that this thing can happen, that this thing is possible. There are those times of darkness, even to people who are walking in communion with God. You think of Job. Job, we're told, feared God and eschewed evil. And yet you know the story of Job, how that Satan was allowed to come in and put Job through all sorts of trials. And he says in Job chapter 19 and verses 6 to 8, "Know now that God hath overthrown me and hath compassed me with his net. Behold, I cry out of wrong, but I am not heard. I cry aloud, but there's no judgment. He hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass. He hath set darkness in my path." So Job says, God has set darkness in my path. He is walking this path of darkness. He was in a dark place, even though he loved the Lord, even though he sought to live righteously. There was this experience of the dark paths. And you remember the diagnosis of Job's friends. They said, "Well, Job, you must have done something wrong. You must have transgressed against God." Indeed, they said, "You must have transgressed very wickedly to go through all the trials and the circumstances that you're going through." And you know, we're very prone to make the same diagnosis. Now, sometimes, or actually maybe perhaps often, the diagnosis would be right, because when we do sin and backslide, we're not going to have the smile of God's countenance. So it may have been sometimes that they might have been right. But they weren't right with Job. Job's loss was in spite of the fact that he feared God and eschewed evil. And he says, Job, in Job 23 and verse 3, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat." And he says, "Behold, I go forward, and he's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him." He says in chapter 30 and verse 26, "When I looked for good, then evil came upon me. And when I waited for light, there came darkness." I wonder if you maybe in the past have experienced something like that. Or maybe even tonight as we sit here, you're experiencing something like that, where God seems to have withdrawn himself. And we see the character of those that are involved in this reality. They can be righteous. They can be those who fear God. But not only do we see the character of this reality, but I want you to see the commonness of it. Because it's not only Job that experienced this kind of thing. You think of the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." And Peter knew about the fiery trials, and Peter was going out to preach the gospel and to bring the gospel to the nations round about and to the people of that day. And he's preaching the word, but he knew the fiery trials. He knew the dark path. Or you can think of the example of David, the psalmist. In Psalm 42 and verse 2, he said, "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" He says, I'm not coming into his presence. He says, when will it be that I will get back into his presence? David had lost contact with God somewhere along the line. And in verses 9 and 10 of the same psalm, he says this, I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? And David had lost touch with his God, and it was so obvious in his life that his enemies were able to pick up the fact that David was miserable, that David seemed to be abandoned by God, and the enemies were reproaching him with that very fact. Or you think of the prophet Habakkuk and how he had something of this experience. He says in Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance, for spoil and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. And here is the prophet of God, and he says to God, why don't you hear me? Why are we going through all of this? Why are these things happening? And then God did answer him, and he said, God said, I'm going to raise up the Chaldeans, and they're going to come, and they're going to punish and chastise the people because of all the violence and the wickedness that they're doing. And of course, that put Habakkuk into more turmoil. How could God use these wicked heathen Chaldeans? And he was even more perplexed. Or you think of John the Baptist, and we read about him in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 3. And at this time, John the Baptist was cast into prison and was in danger of his life. And you remember he sent a message to the Lord Jesus. And here he was languishing in this old dungeon, and he began to doubt, and maybe he felt that he was abandoned by the Lord. And he sent a message to the Lord, and he said, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Lord, why are you not doing something? Why am I not being set free? Why am I being left languishing in the prison? You can understand what he's going through. And here you see among the prophets and among the people of God, there are many times when they felt abandoned, when they felt that they were having to walk through these dark paths. And it's the same with each one of us. There are times when we have to walk through the dark paths, and it may be sometimes that sin has brought us there, but not necessarily so, because here were those that feared the Lord, and they're still going through the dark paths. But not only do I want you to see the reality of this dark path, but I want you to see the reason for the dark path. Why would God allow those that fear the Lord to go through these dark paths? Why would the Lord, take away his face from them? Why? This is the question of the psalmist and so many others. Lord, why have you forgotten me? Well, the first simple reason is that it was the will of God. This darkness was designed as part of God's plan to develop and to strengthen his people. You think about the engineer, or you think about the somebody that's made some kind of device in order to do a job, some kind of tool or whatever it is. And the first thing that you would do with that tool or the device or the engine or whatever it is that you've made is that you'll test it. And very often you will test it to the limit. You'll see how far it will go. You'll push it to the limit in order to make sure that it's going to stand up to all of the tasks that it has to do. And it's the same with the Lord. He tests our faith. He tries our faith so that he will be able to see how strong our faith is. That's what he was doing with Job in allowing the devil to come and to test him, to try him, because Job stood the test. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And Job was tested and proved. And he was able to stand fast. And it was an ultimate benefit to him, because now he knew that even though he went through the dark path, that God was there to help him in the midst of the dark path. And you know, sometimes God has to bring us into the dark path in order for us to learn, to test our faith, and to get us to learn that we can trust in His goodness. Not only is it the will of God for us, but it's the work of God in us, because He strengthens our faith, but He also wants us to recognize His work in us. Maybe that work is not seen, but God is working in us. He is leading us into the place of blessing and further communion with Him. And one of the things that He is doing is getting us to recognize the blessings that we did have in walking with Him. Now, some of you will be able to recognize times, special times in your life when God was near. Maybe it was a special meeting or a special series of meetings. Maybe it was a prayer meeting. Maybe it was something else. Or there was a time in your life when God was very near and you knew His presence and you knew His blessing. Some of us can look back to the 1970s and 1980s in our denomination when souls were being saved and when God was working in a special way. And you know, many times we say, those who were in those days, that when we were going through it, we didn't recognize the blessing that we had. And that's the point. We didn't recognize the blessing that we had. We took it for granted. So God withdraws the blessing and gets us to walk through a time of darkness so that we treasure, so that we do not take the blessings that He has given us for granted. And I think the Lord has in some ways withdrawn the blessing and to get us to long for it, to get us to hunger and thirst for it. And he does not want us to take Him for granted. And sometimes the greatest faith has also been shown in the days of darkness. I think of the prophet Habakkuk again, in the midst of all of the darkness that he was going through. And yet you think of his great declaration in Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. He said, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no meat in the herds, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation." And the prophet was in a day when the smile of God and the blessing of God was not on his people, but he was still rejoicing. And sometimes God withdraws his nearness and wants us to sit back and take stock and to see where we are and to consider our ways. As the prophet Haggai said to the people, "Consider your ways." Or you think of what it says in Lamentations 3, verse 40, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord." But also, I want you to recognize that sometimes there is discernment in the dark. Sometimes the Lord has to bring us into the dark place, conversely, or to see things better. We read in Job chapter 12 and verse 22, it says, "He discovereth deep things out of darkness and bringeth out of light the shadow of death." Sometimes you have too much light. And I think about the story of an artist who was trying to mix colors for his painting, and the sun was shining in and glaring on the painting, and it was sort of washing out the colors, and he couldn't see clearly. So he pulled the curtains in order to be able to discern better. There was too much light coming in. I read about sermon illustrations today, or yesterday it was, and there it was, the man was saying, sometimes you haven't enough light. In other words, you don't have enough illustrations in your sermon. But then he says, sometimes you might have too much light, in that maybe the illustration is so dramatic and is so memorable that the only thing that you remember is the illustration and not the point that was being made about or by the illustration. So sometimes we can have too much light, and sometimes God wants us to come into the darkness so that we can see things better. The Bible speaks about the treasures of darkness. In Psalm 88 and verse 12, the psalmist asks, shall thy wonders be known in the dark? And sometimes God reveals things and shows us things down the dark paths that he cannot show us at any other time. And you know, sometimes God has done some of his greatest works in the dark. I think about Abram at the time when God gave him the covenant promise in the book of Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. And before God gave Abram the covenant promise, it says, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And it was in the darkness that God revealed the light of his promise. My God gave him the wonderful word. Or I think about Moses, when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments and the law of God. And we're told in Exodus chapter 20, verses 21 and 22, and the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. But he drew near to the thick darkness. Or you think of the greatest work of all, the work of the cross. And when my Savior was suffering and bleeding and dying on the cross, what happened? Darkness pervaded the earth. Darkness came in. And sometimes God does some of his greatest works in the darkness. So we see the reason for the darkness. But what about our remit in the darkness? And our time is gone here, but let's try and see what we can see here. What is our remit? Well, look at what it says here in the verse. He says, when we walk in darkness and hath no light, look at the end of verse 10. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. And he says that we're to walk in the darkness. In other words, what do we do in the darkness? We keep on walking. We don't give up. You know, sometimes it's the tendency to give up. You think of Elijah the prophet, and he was for giving up. You remember how he sat under the juniper tree and wished that he could die, and he requested that he would die, and he said, it is enough now, Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers. You remember how God came and he said to Elijah, what doest thou here, Elijah? And then you remember what God said to him. He said in verses 15 and 16 of 1 Kings 19, and the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. In other words, Elijah, get up and get going. And then he told him about the work that he wanted him to do. But we don't give up. We keep walking. We trust in the name of the Lord, and we stay upon our God. And the word stay there just speaks of steadfastness. We are to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Don't give up when there is sin crouching at your door. Maybe that familiar sin. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, God promises, there hath no temptation taken you, but which is such as common to man. But God, who is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Don't give up when you feel deep weariness in your soul. He says in 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Don't give up when you have sought the Lord in prayer and your prayers don't seem to be answered. Because he says in Luke 18 and 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So our remit in the midst of the path of darkness is to keep on going and don't give up. But one more thing very briefly, and that's our reminder in the path of darkness. Look at verse 11. He says, behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourself about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire in the sparks that you've kindled. This shall ye have in mine hand. Ye shall not lie down in sorrow. Or ye shall lie down in sorrow. Sorry. And you'll notice here that those who kindle their own fire and seek to walk in the light of the sparks of that fire, he says, you'll lie down in sorrow. And what he's referring to here is, here's a person walking in the path of darkness. Seems that God's afar off. He's not near. Doesn't seem to be coming near. So the temptation is to light your own fire and walk in the light of the sparks of the fire. Of course, that's a useless task. You're not going to see much in the light of the sparks of a fire. And the sparks aren't going to last long either. So this is a useless task. But what he's referring to here is to those who seek in the midst of the path of darkness to get out of it on their own. To get out of it by your own strength. And how many have done that? You remember Abram was promised a son, the son of the covenant, the son that God had promised. And Abram was 86 years of age and there had been no son. And he felt that God had abandoned him and God had forgotten the promise. And God was not going to do what he said he would do. And so he felt, well, I've got to do something. After all, God helps those that help themselves. So Sarah gave Abram her handmaid, and they had a son, Ishmael. But Ishmael was not the promised son. And Ishmael only caused problem that has lasted right to this very day. You think of King Saul when facing the Philistine army, and he wanted to offer the burnt offerings before he went out to face the Philistine army, and it was a good plan. But Samuel was not there, and so Saul got fed up waiting, and he said, bring me the burnt offering, and he offered the burnt offering, which he should not have done. He was trying to kindle his own fire. And he was trying to walk in the light of the sparks of his own fire. But God says that only brings sorrow. And you know, it's a great temptation for us to try and forge our own way out. You know, maybe it seems God has been a long time since he's spoken. God has been a long time since he's felt near to us. We've got to do something. We've got to forge our own way. We want to light our own fire and walk in the light of the sparks. But the Lord says, no, that only brings sorrow. It only brings sorrow. He says, trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon your God. And that's what we've got to do. And maybe you're walking through dark paths. And maybe it has been dark for you for a long time. And you've been tempted to light your own fire, to do something, to, I don't know what you have felt like doing, but you feel like you've got to do something. You've got to change things. And you're trying to walk in the light of your own fire and in the light of the sparks. No, what we need to do is trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon our God, because God works out all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. May God write his word upon our hearts tonight for his name's sake. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we come to thee in our Saviour's name. And we thank thee for thy precious word, Lord. We recognize the reality that sometimes we walk in the path of darkness. And that, Lord, it may be that we have sinned and that's the reason. But Lord, we see that sometimes, even for thine own people, we go down into the dark valleys. But Lord, we pray that we might be stead upon Jehovah. We thank that stead upon Jehovah, hearts are truly blessed, finding, as he promised, perfect peace and rest. Be with us tonight, even in the place of prayer, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen.